Are you jealous because I am generous? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Very Reverend Vicar General, mano derecha, Diácono Marvin, queridos hijos, my beloved children, it feels like so long since I've been able to address you in a homily, as my heart longs for you. At the request of Fabian, we threw out the notes, so no notes, but just to share the heart of what God is trying to say to us here. But before we get here, where have we been? How many of you are still putting souls who need Jesus most into the chalice? Keep it up. It's having effect, which is why there are so many souls returning back to the sacraments. How many of you are inscribing above your pages, like we spoke about a few weeks ago, the letters JMJ for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, dedicating your work to them, asking the Holy Family to grant you the graces you need to accomplish whatever task it is that you're assigning, or AMDG for Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, doing all things for the greater glory, not of ourselves, but for God. I know many of you have sent me little pictures, texted me little images that you do that, and it's showing fruit in your lives. But today, what our Lord is speaking to us about in this gospel is about what? Something that should blow our minds. Because God's ways, as Krista read for us in the beginning, in the first reading, are higher, greater, so far beyond our own ways. And it's our minds, as we've talked about many, many times in these homilies, that have to be conformed into His. So what is our Lord saying? He's talking about a owner, a proprietor of a vineyard, and the way in which he goes about his work. What we see in this, read it. We're doing an expositional homily. You should have the text right in front of you right now so you can go over it and see that what I'm saying to you is the truth. Not just because I say it, because Jesus says it. So when we look at this parable, what do we find? We find there that Jesus is talking about this vine dresser who is so full of exuberance at the vintage, which is about to be taken. He's joyfully going out, recognizing today is the day that the vintage gets to be brought in. And so with haste and exuberance, he goes into his vineyard and then out from his vineyard into the streets, because he doesn't want a single grape to raisin upon the vine. He wants to bring it all in. And so he goes in and out and in and out. But there's one problem. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. And so what he does is he goes out not once, not twice, not three times. He goes out a total of five times from his vineyard to seek out more laborers. What I'm going to talk to you about today is that this proprietor, he's a terrible businessman. The worst. The worst. He doesn't follow any principles that anybody in business would ever follow, because what is he doing? He's going out and not picking from the most qualified applicants. He's calling everybody that he can find who wants employment. He's giving employment to. He finds them idle in the streets. He brings them into his vineyard to work, to labor. Well, why is he doing this? We all know that this is bad business tact because of what? Because each one of us, how many of us have been owners of businesses or worked in the private sector? We know exactly that this is what you don't want to do. What's the greatest expense to somebody who's starting a business? Labor. Labor is the biggest expense that you have in finding good employees, training them, and then maintaining them, making sure that they come. I can tell you every single employer I've ever left in my entire life has come to me and shook me and said, "Come on, Father Christopher, why are you leaving? I invested so much in you. Now I gotta find somebody else and do it again." So what he's doing with each person he brings into his vineyard, he's not increasing his produce, he's not increasing his productivity. In fact, He's increasing his wastefulness. That begs the question for us, doesn't it? Why is he doing it? Is he really trying to make the greatest profit? Or is there something else at work? I put to you the latter. Something else is at work here, because what is going on here? What is going on here is that the heart of this one isn't concerned with bringing profit into himself. He's not interested in what these people who are out there, these idlers in the streets, are able to do for him. He's more interested in what he can do for them. He wants them to come into relationship with him. He's not interested in bringing in a great profit. See that. See that. Because this is how he goes out to bring people in. I put it to you one further. Remember at the end of the gospel what he's talking about. He says that he has four men who are going to divvy out the wages, right? Well, that means there's a hierarchy. He has other people who are underneath him. He's not employee-less. So why doesn't he send those four men out to gather these people if they're just going to be random people, right? But he goes out himself. Why? Why? Because he wants to look at every single one who's out there and to see each one of these men and look into their eyes, just as I'm looking into your eyes right now. Wants to measure the kind of man or woman that it is that he's bringing into his enterprise. See who they are, to come to know them so that they can come to know him. You see, he is extravagantly wasteful. He's not interested in a profit. Remember, it says he's a householder, a head of household. It means he's not just a landowner, but what is a head of household? The head of a family. And so what he's trying to do is not add to his wealth, to store in his barns, to put good wine into wine bottles. What this guy is trying to do, this landowner, this householder, is trying to bring more souls into his family. He's wanting to increase his family size, not his pocketbook. So brethren, this is what's going on. He wants to make sure that each one of his calls are personal, individual, and irrepeatable. As he looks into each one of his employees, not as somebody who's going to make him rich, but somebody whom he hopes to enrich with a relationship with himself. This isn't a surprise to any of us here, right? Jesus is talking about God the Father. That's how God works with us. He works with us in the same way. He's not looking at us in a way that makes us think that he can profit from who we are, because God doesn't need us. He has everything in the world, doesn't he? He doesn't need our labor. He can do anything that he wants. He's omnipotent. And the only bound, the only restriction on his omnipotent power is what? Love. The love that allows us to have a free will to either enter into his enterprise or to not to be able to do so. But we find a great scandal in that love, don't we? God's love is scandalous. Scandalous is God's love for us. Because what do we see at the very end of this gospel, the thing that twists the knife into us? He lines them up one by one, starting with those who came latest till those who came first. And he gives them each a day's wage. And so that when those who came for that 1 hour, came at the 5 o'clock hour, only having 1 hour to work, felt like they made a killing, that they stole their way into a great benefit for only working 1 hour, they got a whole day's pay. They're rejoicing. But as time goes on, those ones who are first, the ones who bore the heat of the day, what do they say? They say, hey, look, master, what's going on here? You made these ones who worked only an hour equal to us who slaved all day long in the heat. What they're saying is, he's saying, look, you made those lazy people who didn't want to come and work all day equal to us. How could you? Well, what's going on there? When they speak up like that, what does it reveal? It doesn't reveal anything bad about this proprietor. It reveals something about themselves. It shows their true colors inside, doesn't it? It shows that what's in their lives is vainglory, is envy, is this destructive grabbing at others. What they're seeing things as is a capitalistic way of working out things, a cold capitalistic mindset. God's ways aren't like that. His ways are higher, greater, and beyond. What they want to do, they want to see the world as a zero-sum game. You know economics? Zero-sum. That's like war. For somebody to win, that means that somebody else has to lose. For somebody to be successful in life, that means that somebody else has to be a failure. There is no possible way for both people, for two people at the same time, to both increase in wealth. Impossible. That's not the way that God works in his economy, brothers and sisters. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't give us according to our merits only. He gives us according to his just love and mercy. That's what he wants to show. An attitude of this capitalistic, of this zero sum, that person has to lose for me to win. Somebody else is happy, so that means that I must be less happy because they're happy. That attitude, what does it do? It destroys our families. It destroys our friendships. That attitude destroys God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It cannot be so among us, brethren. Because in Santa Rosa, we must be our brother's keepers, not ones who look out for ourselves, but one who look out for those who are weakest. That's what God calls us to. That's what the message is here within the gospel. Right back there, we have the confessional. And you know what happens when people come into the confessional? So often when people walk into that confessional, they come in there with a whole litany of offenses that other people have committed against them. They talk about everything about everybody else's sins against them that caused me to fall into the sin some way. Somebody else was such a jerk to me, so I just had to mouth off at them in some sort of way. Somebody else has beaten me so badly that I have to respond in this way. Father, you know how it is, right? So they go into that box seeking not forgiveness, but seeking justification. Seeking not God's mercy, but saying, confirm me, Father, in my sin. Those ones don't go away justified. In fact, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that their offense, their holding of resentment, their bringing up other people's problems and thinking that theirs are nothing, is actually worse than the original offense. Why? Because they have no sorrow over their sin. And without sorrow, there cannot be forgiveness of such sin. Jesus spoke about that last week. He speaks about it again this week. Brothers and sisters, it cannot be so among us. Because what does this envy lead to? You remember the first sin, right? Adam and Eve. What's the second mortal sin in Scripture? Cain and Abel. Remember, they both offered sacrifices to God. Abel's was accepted because he did exactly what God wanted. Cain's wasn't because he went a different way. What happened in the heart of Cain? Because he saw how his brother was favored and how he wasn't as favored, he became angry, became envious of his brother. And then what happened? The first murder. Because envy always results in murder if it's not cut out. If we're not going to murder them by sticking a knife in their body, we're going to do so in their good name, by gossiping, by tearing them down behind their backs, because that's a way that we can feel justified. But it doesn't justify us. It actually destroys ourselves and the rest of the world. That's when God first told to Cain, look, you are your brother's keeper. In Santa Rosa, brothers and sisters, we have to be our brother's keepers. So what is God calling to us today? Here's the remedy. God is seeking us today and he's saying, look, my ways are so much more greater than your ways. My thoughts are so much far beyond your thoughts. I'm not a capitalist. I'm somebody who's generous. I'm not somebody who's cold and exacting. I'm somebody who's warm and sees the weak one and tries to build them up. That's what God wants for us. And that's what he wants in our community. And thanks be to God, many of you are beginning to live that out, which is why our community is growing, thanks be to God. So this is it. This is it. This is how we are going to change it. This is the key to unlocking God's mercy for us. You see, the more and more that I think about how much I've been forgiven a lot. I go to confession every week. Drive all the way to Albuquerque to do it, to find another priest. The more and more I encounter my own sinfulness, the less and less I can hold anything against anybody else. I can't think just because my sins are hidden and everybody else's may be out in the open that I'm any better. It's because of that that Jesus speaks in another place in the Gospel of Matthew, and he says, that's why tax collectors and prostitutes and those who are the same sex attracted are entering into heaven before you. Because those people know that they're sinners. They repent. We don't think we're sinners, and so we don't. God resists those who are proud, yet he gives grace to those who are humble. And he wants to do that for us. The key is this. The more we recognize how much we've fallen short of God's glory and of his love, the more and more we see how we need his love and his mercy in our lives. And more I see that I need God's love and mercy in my life, the more and more I'm able to show that to somebody else, to lead them gently. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says this. He says, are you envious, jealous, because I'm so generous? Jesus isn't going to say that about us here in Santa Rosa, because we're going to change our ways. Because we're going to recognize how merciful God is to us. We're going to recognize that we don't have to be exacting upon the commandments upon other people, but rather gently lead them upon the path of holiness and righteousness, to welcome them into God's arms slowly and slowly, so that these people who are freeloaders on God's mercy can little by little begin to pull their own weight, little by little begin to follow in the way of Christ. That's what God wants for us. And he'll give us the grace. If you want to see mercy in your life, you got to show mercy. Don't be jealous because of God's mercy to others, but rather rejoice because his generosity extends to a sinner just like me, even just like you. Because in Santa Rosa, we are our brother's keepers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.